Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Man, you know, technology is booming at such a rapid rate. I don't think I can keep up, but just AI is taking over all the graphic design jobs, and I'm just not going to make it at this point. I think I should go ahead and just quit. I mean, I'm all for, like, you know, fighting for something, but I think it's time for me to get up out of here.
Then hurry the hell up and leave! Let the real creators take over! Because, welcome to the J-Man Show here on...
J360 Radio!
Hey, how's it going, J360 Legion? What is happening? Welcome back to the J-Man Show for episode 335. I am your host, Jay, of course. And man, do we have a bit of things to talk about, right? I hope you all have been doing well. I hope you have been, you know, actually going for your goals and achieving your dreams. Because I'm about to rip this shit apart tonight. When don't I, right? Well, let me just say, look. Why does it always seem to be, whenever I'm talking about human relationships going down sour, and then I'm talking about movies that are not doing so well, then I talk about video games that are not doing so hot, then all of a sudden I look over at what's on Threads, because Threads is nothing but sad people lives and stuff, and I always see one thing in common. AI. Technology's not as great as it used to be. Or a bunch of overstatements that, once again, make me realize you guys are just full of dumbass takes. And no, I'm not talking to the fans, and no, I'm not talking to my friends out there and stuff. But there is one of my friends that he makes a lot of rant videos nowadays. Sounds familiar to me, doesn't it? But he does make a lot of those videos. He made a video talking about AI is here, either get with it or get out. And it's like, you know, that's a very interesting statement to make, but at the same time, it is a very hollow-ass one to make. No disrespect to him, mind, but I have to say it.
You see, the thing about artificial intelligence is, I told you all before, the technology is not there yet to the point where it can replace us. It can make things function at a faster pace. You can utilize it to answer questions that you may have, which people just don't have time to answer. Or at the same time, like, you know, other people probably don't have the time to really reach out to you about it. So if you needed like a quick and easy answer about things, AI would be there. You know, usually like when you're talking to Siri, or like when you're talking about making stuff realistic in terms of art and models and all that kind of stuff, you know, wouldn't you want to know the actual number of how long it is, or, you know, like the structures? Like, wouldn't you want to know technical specifications? I mean, like, say, like, if I was trying to make a model of the Brooklyn Bridge, right? Which is a very beautiful bridge, mind you, and we've been talking a lot about bridges lately. But you see, in order for me to actually make this for my model or whatever I'm trying to do, and it's realistic, I need to know, according to scale, how long it is, how wide it is, and actually get the dimensions right. That way I can capture it and what I'm trying to do. And sometimes I just don't have that information on hand, so I will have to use AI in order to know this stuff. Or say, like, if I have an idea for a script or a one line, maybe I can work with the idea of different writer prompts as a way of trying to put my ideas together to make something. Not necessarily get the damn thing to do the work for me, but as a way of, like, well, let's see what happens if, or what if I created this character here? What if I had this plot twist here? You know what I'm saying? In a way, it's there that I'm using it as an aid, as something to help me. You know, if I'm on the last days of my career and I don't want to actually put any input in, and I start getting the thing to go ahead and not only make the idea, but also to generate and create the whole thing, where at the same time it doesn't know the difference between emotions or whatever actions are taking place, and it's just a gobbledygook of messes and all this other stuff, like, and rips off from other people's art, yeah, that's a problem. Because, see, once again, you've all seen Tron Legacy before. I don't know why the hell I'm explaining to you this, but it's like, remember, like, the young version of Jeff Bridges that was there, who was the, quote, bad guy? Yeah, see, he was the artificial intelligence that was supposed to maintain the grid. Jeff Bridges made sure that he could do that so he'd be able to run things that he couldn't. Because, well, Jeff Bridges was aging and becoming an older man at the time, right? So he can't keep that stuff going, but Clue could. And you see, the thing is, Clue got so good at his job, and, well, you know, nobody wants to be replaced at their job on anything. But you see, Clue did it in a very faster way than what Jeff Bridges could. You understand what I'm saying? And anything that was new that was going to be, you know, dare I say, like, the sharper image, or, like, the next best thing to Clue, which was what, like, what was her name? She's a director now, but Olivia Wilde, yes. And, you know, she was a part of those new programs that could actually do a lot more than what Clue could. But, you see, instead of Clue figuring that he could work with them, which he's not designed to do, mind you, he went and he tried to wipe them all out. And you see, like, Olivia Wilde was the last of those programs. Until, you know, new programs get made and all that kind of stuff. And, I mean, I think it was a very underrated movie. I actually enjoyed Tron Legacy, but are they actually going to do that third one? See, that's a question for another time. But going back into what I'm saying is, we are all acting like Clue right now. Because we don't think that, we just face it, we've been all downplaying our values for years. We've been dissing our values for quite a long time, and a lot of the institutions that we do, like, even during the pandemic, we had a listing and a bracket of what essential work is, and art and artistry was never involved on any of those brackets, even though it was a flowchart made by an artist, but whatever. You know, there are people in this world, for some reason, that figure, hey, you know, just because you're an artist, you deserve all the gratification of the world. Just because you work in media, you deserve all the gratifications. You do not. You understand what I'm saying? Like, yes, even as I work here in J360 Productions and all the other stuff I do, I'm doing this because of sheer value. I have a lot of value in myself and the things that I do. But does other people see it? Do other people have all those things? I don't know, and I don't stick around long enough to find out.
if you love the shows and everything, I mean, you keep coming back every week, then that means that, hey, I'm doing it right. But let me let you know this. Sometimes just doing stuff and getting the bag is all you really need. And you enjoy it until that well runs dry. You know, such as like when you're doing like event videography and all that stuff. Chances are people were afraid that drones was going to replace like, you know, event videography. If anything, drones made it better, you know, but of course there's a little thing about certain drones being banned though, because of, you know, protecting your identity, put it that way. But you know what, though? The whole thing about privacy is kind of a joke anyway, because, like I said, if your information, if you've used the internet at any time in your life to buy commerce or any of that stuff, your information's already out there. It's just a matter of when and who is coming to pick at it. So I just want to let you know that. But I'm not trying to throw these alarms at you. I'm trying to let you know that. See, the thing about it is that we the people have been doing this stuff to each other. We've been cutting ourselves down. We've been unfairly comparing ourselves to other people. We haven't taken the time to just be proud of the things that we do. And the truth is that no matter how the years grow and all that stuff, from one microaggression to another microaggression and other things that will never be solved in this lifetime until all humanity is erased, don't you think you should take a little time to appreciate what you're able to do? Like, the musicians I know, like, not the ones that I respect, but I know plenty of them that have not appeared on jams yet. They're hard on themselves. Like I said, they're on Threads talking all of this stuff. And you know what? It's funny, too, because a long time ago, people act like, oh, Threads is not going to take off. Threads isn't going to be great. Yeah, you migrate your asses from Twitter to come all the way to Threads, and now you ran it down just like Twitter did. And you're posting all of this shit that nobody cares about, in addition to, like, just being hard on yourselves. You know, we are our own worst enemy, people. We have always been that. It's not the computers and technology around us and stuff. It's the fact that this stuff is going to change anyway. Life is going to change. Persona 5 should have taught you that. Hell, any of the Persona games should teach you that. Things change all the time. You know, such as the ability to create this content. A long time ago, we would all either had to go to college or we would all have to go into internships in order to even access like the basic editors and stuff that we take for granted now, or anything that we use to create graphics and all the other materials. We didn't have that on hand back then. I mean, you had to pay a shitload of money for it, and sometimes you still do. I mean, if you're using Adobe, like, sometimes you look at Adobe's price and you're like, wow, this is outrageous. But it used to be a lot more when you paid for the whole suite and you had it at home. Remember that? Yes. Or anything dealing with content creating in general. Like, for a long time ago, we really didn't have to go this hard. But it's the fact that, you know, this is how we have our abilities to do these things now. You know, like even earlier back in like 2006 and all, when ULEAD was around. ULEAD is a part of Corel now. But I started off with Video Studio and I enjoyed it, but I know that this wasn't going to be as simple as it used to be. And then like uploading to YouTube used to take forever. And then there was that chance where it did not work. But you see, nowadays it's a lot more competent to a point, but it's got all that extra shit after your video is done, such as like content ID to make sure that you're not infringing on anybody else, and among other things. You know, certain people will see that stuff and they'll get triggered by it or whatever. It's a lot of crap nowadays, but you know when to fight back and all that kind of stuff. See, I'll fight for my art anyway, tooth and nail, for everything that I've done. Like past episodes I made, and I'm not working with those people anymore, but they agreed to work on that project at that time, so they don't really have a pot to piss in now, do they? But the point is that when you keep working on that material, don't get too comfortable with the technology that you use, which is why we have R&D month all the time. You know, every May it's usually like that because things change. And AI was going to come into play anyway, because, I mean, how often can you code without having automation come into play? Isn't that what coding was supposed to tell us to do? I don't even see things for an hour of code anymore, because I see everything for, like, AI. I see Meta AI, which... How do you make a worse search, right? Have you noticed that? Like, it's pretty much Facebook search with artificial dumbness to it.
Because for God help them, they don't know what the hell they're doing. But they will charge you money in order to extend your reach on any of these social networks they own. You look at, like, Siri's still competent. And then you look over at Samsung with Bixby. And Bixby is okay, to a point. But, you know, is it only going to get better? It'll learn as much as we do, but it'll learn at a faster pace. But instead of fighting with it all the time, you can choose not to use it. You can choose not to get involved with AI and still stick to what you know, but there's going to be times where it's going to be hard for you to take that big-ass dictionary around. It's going to take a while for you to flip to those pages of a pocket dictionary to say what you need to say, or a pocket ref and stuff. But you see, the thing about it is, it all comes down to one thing, y'all. Choice. And I keep telling you guys this almost every damn episode of this season, but freedom of choice is like one of the most powerful choices you have next to freedom of speech. But you can choose to do anything. It's not a damn requirement. Like, and I say this a lot because, like, the feminists and the activists out here, or all the conservative people out here, will not tell you this, but I'll tell you this. You have a choice. You have freedom of choice when it comes to this. See, I look at AI as a tool. And like I mentioned before, those are the only times I would use it. And that would be for, like, reference. It would not be for, namely, to do my job for me. You see what I'm saying? Now, if you have a hard time drawing, maybe you could get it to generate something that you will eventually learn how to draw. But if you're going to run with that, be careful, because it could be a copyrighted image. And that's why, at best, like, you never stop your learning with that helping you. And any of you established artists out here that are scared of this shit, here's the thing. Cut the xenophobia for a minute. What is it about it that you are so afraid of that you are not taking the time to utilize it, to learn it, to be like this? You know what? It's just going to be another tool in my toolbox. That's how you should be able to handle this stuff. Now, I can't help the way the market system is going now. I can't help the way, like, some of these Fortune 500 companies are just coming around here, laying off, cutting people off, throwing people out, not even thinking about severance pay, not even looking at humans as a resource, not even looking at, like, basic, you know, human rights and employee rights and considering it. That's just them, and it's unfortunate that they act this way, but you'll know when to stand up to them, right? You know when to go ahead and be like, I deserve better, and you could go ahead and build your own brand if you wanted to, or you could go ahead and just say, fuck them, I'm just going to go ahead and collect what I need and get out. You never stay too content about anything. You understand what I'm saying? Especially this day and age. Just like if you're looking for a job, don't wait for your job to be in danger to look for a job. You know, and I know, like, there are other people out there that are really hurting, really suffering, really going through it. And the truth is that, you know, if you have these dreams to be in this creative field, I don't know why the hell people think that the creative field was going to be a safe haven anyway. It's just as bloody as a battlefield, such as, like, engineering and all. Yeah. You might have people who betray you. You may have people out there who steal your ideas. And you may steal some ideas yourself. God knows only what it is. But if you notice how toxic things are, things in our lifetime change often, such as technology and the ability to do things. But when it comes to the basic human natures, they stay the same all the time. Because you never know who you're dealing with and stuff. And then generalization and overstatements come into play because people are afraid of competition. I've noticed this. People are afraid of competition to the T. That's why you got all these mergers and stuff going around too. Have you noticed that? In America, a long time ago, competition used to be the lifeblood, baby. Like if somebody did a service that you did and you did it at a faster pace and then at a more affordable rate, that person would go for you. The other person would try to match you, but they can only go so low. But the thing was, the competition was fierce, and it was amazing. It was like game night all the time. You would have people working with you, and if they love what you do, they'll stick around. But if you start losing sight of all that stuff, you start worrying about what somebody else is doing more than you, instead of your own marketing ability, you done screwed yourself. You done got all wrapped up in things and put yourself on the sidelines and shit. Now, if there's one thing about me, I'm not putting myself on the sidelines. Not at all. Not in this day and age. Not in any age. if there's still the multiverse principle, I'm sure that none of the J-Mans out there that are, you know, building a company like J360 Productions or a variation of it, I'm sure they're not sitting on no sideline at all. They are ready to go. And just like how I am right now, I am ready to go with a lot of things. Because I also got a big expo to take care of at the end of this week. No, not week, month. And I have another event to take care of. So I have things I got to do. But it's like this, though. You see, as I go about doing those things, I'm not thinking about AI. I have all my stuff ready when I need to use AI, but I never use it in my creative process when I'm creating. Do you see what I'm saying? I mean, it's just like, if I was using automation, you would think that jams would be the first one to be automated, right? Nope, that's 100% me doing that. I mean, there's nothing wrong with automation, but at the time, you'll get lazy. You understand what I'm saying? You'll get so used to that shit, you'll get lazy. And at the end of the day, it's like, you know what, you really shouldn't. And don't get too complacent with the ability to create. You should always be looking for that next level each and every time. That's how you're going to stay ahead of the game. And as you look about it, look at how AI is growing too. And that way, if you see, like I said, well, I'm going to generate this image for you, say no to it if you don't want it to. I mean, like, if you look at the ability to use your freedom of choice, and this includes the Adobe products too, because they got AI all over the place. But you know what? Actually, they don't. They have it in that one spot where it is. You just choose not to use it. As long as you are aware of these things, you'll know exactly where to function. You'll know how to go about these things. And I have a lot of people, even in the Jam fam and those that I don't know around me that use AI. And the truth is, I'm not going to go knock on your door and say, oh, you're not a real creator because you do that stuff. What the hell am I going in there dictating your workshop for? That's what you do. I'm not going to go ahead and do that to you. Why the hell should I, you know? You'll find out on your own if you're using it for the right reasons or not. You can either use it as a tool or you use it as a crutch. And that's entirely up to you. Like some people, instead of using a rope to climb up, they use a rope to hang themselves. And it's really unfortunate. But at the same time, though, you notice that the people who don't use it and don't get out of their comfort zone are the ones with the biggest opinions. And they make overstatements about AI and all the Terminator memes and all this other crap. You know, we haven't gotten that far yet. But as we do get that far, be aware of things because AI learns from us and it does what we tell it to do. Do you ever think about that? You see what I'm saying? It's just a computer functioning as a computer. But you know, the funny part about it is, with new technology, there are people that make a lot of overstatements like, nobody goes out anymore. The kids don't go to the playgrounds. The kids are not outside. They're all just tapping and typing on the phone. It's unbelievable. Shut the hell up. That is not how that works. That's not how that works at all, actually. There are not a bunch of kids out there staying inside, typing up, and all that kind of stuff. You know, you got to look at what the kids are into and what exactly they're doing, okay? There's been a gross overstatement among all generation gaps, and this one is no different. But let me tell you this, though. The technology that is around the kids is not hurting them. It is the way that we, the parents, react to the shit. In addition to, like, how much exposure they go through. I mean, like, there are time limits on a lot of electronic devices. And there are times where the parents would take them to the parks. They would take them to the playgrounds and stuff for a couple of hours and come on back home. And then there's the moment where, you know what? Some places don't upkeep the playgrounds like they used to. And then there's creepy people at playgrounds. You know, dare I say it? A lot of offenders of many kinds are out there, or people that have taken the time to shoot up some drugs in that area where the kids should be playing at. I don't think you noticed this, but a playground is not the most safest place on earth. It really isn't. And then there are moments where, like, you know, the parents are probably too lazy or probably too overworked to even take their kids out. So they probably have to figure out another way of doing things. And then not only that, if kids are not going out and actively being active in their lifestyle, explain youth sports to me then. Youth sports doesn't have a shortage in enrollment. You know, and a lot of summer camps out here are not doing badly as you think they are. I mean, Delaware parks are doing great as far as I know, and they have kids out there all the time. So what the hell are you talking about? Is it because you don't have anybody that's going out there? Is it because your ass is outside and you don't notice anybody being there. And then here's another thing, folks. When people are like, people don't go outside anymore, that is a stupid overstatement, because ever since the damn pandemic ended, people been going out all over the place. I mean, I remember for 1 week alone, a lot of my contemporaries in the podcast game kept saying, man, it feels so good to be in a movie theater already. Yeah, good on you, jackass. I still had to wait a whole week. Mostly because there was nothing good planned at the time. But the whole point about that is that, again, that also messes with streaming. Streaming, again, is a damn choice. VOD was going to change anyway. People have not been releasing stuff on video cassette at that time unless it's homebrewed. And even when it's homebrewed, you know, it's enjoyable to watch. I'll tell you that, like to have old VHS and all that stuff. But the thing is this. Nobody's really manufacturing that stuff anymore. Things change. And, you know, you look at Best Buy. Best Buy made that decision of not to have physical media anymore. That's on them. They don't need my money, you know? But there are other places I know to go to that do have the physical releases. And I signed up with them, and I get them shipped in all the time. And then, you know, Walmart that just brought, you know, Walmart trying to be a damn record store or something, they're holding on a little bit longer because guess what? That's money they can pick up. If they're smart enough to know this, they don't all have to be monkey see, monkey do. And the truth is about all these other generalization overstatements are, this is just shit that you came up with. And it's good that you have an opinion, but it's fucking wrong. You ever think about that? Yes. Anyone who's anyone out here, you and your 10,000 followers and then some, you have an opinion, but it may be wrong. And chances are, you know what? If it is wrong, then guess what? You're going to have to live with it. And it's very, very painful for you, right? Because nobody wants to see that they're wrong, right? Because the public view is on them. And at the end of the day, oh, you know, I can't have it where J-Man outsmarts me and all that kind of stuff. And I've done it many times, and I don't even have nearly as many followers as you do. But at least then I know that my followers are actually fucking intelligent. You know, you see them all the time where they all like a bunch of lemmings and they don't have their own opinions and they're all sitting there like following and listening to any of these other publications out here. And I always say this, blind loyalty is dangerous too. You know, that's why freedom of choice comes into play. That's why I actually take the time to research things. That's why I actually have some conversations and don't get offended by things. Like, you know, when say like you are wrong, just be like, okay, well, now I know and I'll do better next time. It's always a way about these things. But, you know, it's kind of like that rap beef that came around not too long ago. It was funny. I'm not going to lie. It was funny. And it got you all talking about music. That was all right. But, you know, like, as per usual, when it comes to standing up against, like, people saying, the video store was a great time. The 90s were a zenith. Once again, it was the 90s. You didn't have a fucking job then. What is wrong with you? I'm talking to people in my age group. You didn't have a... I didn't have a job. You didn't have a job. Of course it was great. We were in our childhood. We had Nintendo and we had Sega and then the TurboGrafx-16 and then even the Commodore was still around. And they had quality games then. Things were different at the time. Now that we're a lot older and we have to work at these crazy ass jobs, we're the adults now. Alright? And I'm not saying that we're all burnt out, tired, or whatever. But quite a lot of us are tired. Quite a lot of us have a horrible time dealing with certain aspects. Like when I used to have my old job and I hated it, you know? But at the end of the day, I at least had the ability to go and do other things that I wanted to do when I was not on duty. Some of y'all are emotionally scarred to the point you still think you're there even though it's your day off. You know? I can't speak for you. But how you want to live your life is entirely up to you. And then among other things, like, everybody has to mind-numbingly follow the popular opinion instead of the right opinion. Do you see what I'm saying? That's the world we live in now. There are no morals, there are no merits, there are none of this other stuff. Like, I've seen more and more anti-video game shit than a little bit. Like when that one dude went up there to get his Grammy, which, by the way, Grammy. He went up there to get his Grammy. And then he said, I'm thankful that my parents have given me music books instead of video games. And it's like, yeah, we are thankful that we finally realized that there's another asshole on the planet that have to go after video games. Mario Paint, dumbass. You ever think about that? You know? I love it. I love it when people have to go this extra mile to throw their narrative on people. Video games aren't the problem either. It's a lot of hijacking going on in video games these days. A lot of, you know, and I can't say that it's woke, but I can say that it is progressive. I can say that it's a bunch of weird-ass activist shit that doesn't mean anything to anybody. You understand what I'm saying? Like, all these other things that are going on, media is going to, mainstream media anyway, is going to be a big-ass laughingstock with all this other stupidity that they're doing with pandering. It's just more and more pandering. You're out there trying to reach a percentage of people who don't care about your product, who don't even like superheroes, who don't even like video games, who don't even care about none of this shit, no matter what you do. It's just like if you're trying to get somebody into video games and you know what? They just are not biting because guess what? They don't want the shit. They were probably happy with whatever they're into. And you know, it's just like, isn't it weird for us to do this to each other too? Like if there's things that I'm interested in and you know, the girl I'm dating, like if she's not interested in that stuff, that's totally okay. I can go for a walk. I can go do whatever the hell I want to do except cheat on her. You know what I'm saying? But if there's one thing that we find that we like to do together and we do that, then that's special. You know what I mean? Like even cooking together should be fun. But you guys somehow found a way to make that irrelevant. Among other things. And I'm using that as an example, mind you. I mean, like, you got... whoever the hell's in charge of Kotaku, like, she's full of shit. I'm sorry. She wanted to be Anita Sarkeesian so bad. And then you can see, like, all the stuff that she's doing is not helping the cause at all. And then, like, all these other morons that have no opinions for anything. The ones that run other podcasts that are touchy-feely and good to everybody. I'm an ally, y'all. Can't you tell? Do you feel comfortable around me? I have no opinion of my own, but I dive in and cherry-pick research just so I can sound intelligent and you feel comfortable around me. Bullshit. Now, I spit on those. Those are pathetic podcasts. You want podcasts with meaning. You want stuff to tell you the truth of things, and you want things to tell you the stories of things. You want things to actually be entertaining. Not just cookie cutter, hey, everybody like me, please like me, nonsense. Now, I done told y'all about that years ago, which, by the way, thank you for listening. That was one hell of a great episode I made. Oh, yeah, I'm gonna give myself some gratification. Self-pats on the back always. You know why? Because not only are we our worst enemy, we are our biggest fan. And, you know, I'd rather be my biggest fan than be my worst enemy. And I want you all to realize a lot of the stuff that goes on now. Oh, but it's funny, too, because, of course, you're going to have some of those contrarians come up. Of course, you're going to have people out there say, you do. It's like, shut up, bitch. Oh, I say that with meaning all the time. I love jumping into the comment sections of different publications just to see how far it'll go. And if I know that it's a serious topic, I'm going to say something and talk about it. But if I know that it's like a real clown show, I'm going to laugh my ass off and I'm going to let you know about it. Well, you see, the beautiful part about it is, like, they had a piece about Michael Douglas speaking about, like, why you shouldn't have intimacy consultants on set during, like, you know, sex scenes and everything. Because there's, like, a whole big case against them. And... people were sitting there trying to clown on Michael Douglas about it. It's like, Michael Douglas would know about sex scenes better than quite a lot of y'all people would know about sex in general. Because Basic Instinct and Fatal Attraction, two of the finest movies I've seen. Disclosure was aight, but it didn't get as, you know, skin deep as the other two did. But you see, they were really good movies. And not to mention, like, the way it was set up. But he was talking about how the male actor, should be responsible for his co-star or supporting actor to be comfortable in situations like this. And I agree with him on that because you need, like, people... like, everybody on set should be responsible for the way the production goes. And whoever you have for consultancy here, they need to do their damn job. They don't need to throw their narrative in there. They need to do their job. Get a good load of that, eh, Kim Belair? But the thing is, you need to understand, like, it's a team effort. whether it be a sex scene, an action scene, or whatever, everybody has to be involved and everybody has to work together. You see what I'm saying? And what he said was, no intimacy consultants, because it's going to ruin production. And in some way, he might be right, because did you know Bob Iger thought that the best thing for studios would be to implement, like, people who are more executives on the studio so that they can actually see how the movie is going in terms of pacing and all? Which, they're not people involved with the art process. That's just more business people to come in and micromanage. You see what I'm saying? Like, there's just too many damn people on the set right now. And you look at it from time to time, you're like, will that help make the movie better? Or at the same time, are we at that point where, guess what? We need to stop making sequels, stop playing it safe, stop doing all this other crazy shit, stop double downing on pandering, and just tell the damn story. You know what I'm saying? If I was ever to have an image... Oh, God. Yeah, image consultants or something too, but if I was ever to have an intimacy consultant, whatever that is, then in that case, I need to look over at the adult industry, right? Because, hey, that's 90% of what they do, right? I mean, might as well go ahead and talk to somebody at Hustler Magazine and say, hey, am I doing this right? Because I don't know where the hole is. Oh, man. And when you look at real-life sex, if you've ever had real-life sex before, it is nowhere near as intimate and fascinating as these movies are. So, once again, let us calm the fuck down, chill out, and realize that the quality of movies is based on the storytelling, the acting, the performance, and not to mention the marketing. It needs to be in different spots so that everybody can see this film. If you didn't see it, it didn't hit. And if you didn't hit during that first week, you didn't break even or so. The second week you could hope for, but that's almost like betting on a spare to win the whole bowling game instead of actually making a strike. And that's the worst part of it all, guys. Like, you know, I'm a writer. Like, I write love scenes. I don't have a problem doing that stuff. It's not entirely cringe. I mean, it's the most natural thing that humans do. And we are still finding ways to mess that up. Have you noticed? It's just, I don't get it. And you see, as I speak about this stuff, I'm just talking about unnecessary things that are happening in the movie industry. Much like I'm talking about unnecessary things happening in video games. And then it comes back down to where we in the indie crowd are. It's like, we can do better content than a lot of our contemporaries, but we're going to have to be willing to do such, and we're going to have to actually be professional about the whole thing. And yes, being independent, yeah, you got to be professional about stuff. I saw one where somebody was talking about, like, no, you had to do what they say. Otherwise, like, you'll have to go ahead and try to market this thing on your own, which is hard to do. There is no other way. Yes, there is, bitch. You just said it. I'll go and market this film on my own. I don't need your damn help. And this is how you know people that are with you and not with you. Because if you say that kind of stuff and you know that you changed the game, the one thing in the world that people can't help and are afraid of is when people don't need them. And when you tell the studio system that you don't fucking need them and you are making this thing and you're going to have this stuff going as high as need be, because there are other outlets that are coming along that are trying to get rid of the middleman. Trust me. Follow that stuff to the letter, prove them wrong, and go ahead and make your money. Now, I'm never going to say it's easy, because it isn't. Just like I told you about AI earlier, it isn't. But you go ahead and you make this stuff count. Be about this life. Alright? Like I said, it is a battlefield in the creative field. That's just the way it is. It's always been this way. That will never change, but the tools and what's utilized will change. You see what I'm saying? And the worst kind of people that play the game are the ones that have always had the keys, you and me. Simple as that. So, you know what to do now, and you know what sort of circumstance you live into. And it doesn't matter what form of creativity you are into. It's pretty much all about the same, and it all comes together about the same. I'm not wrong in this. So just remember, okay?
But I got to get on out of here, though, because it's still R&D month, and I still got some new stuff to bring to you all. I won't be able to bring it in around Thursday, but maybe I can bring it around Saturday at the latest. So you're just going to have to stay tuned, and that will be on Facebook.com/J360Productions at 9 o'clock. All right? So, you know, you can take a peek at it. I'm just going to be testing and working some things out, but we're going to have some fun with this, okay? But until then, this is J-Man signing off. Peace.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.